All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're taking a look at a case that I think really drives home how even minor legal slip-ups can have some pretty serious consequences. We're talking about United States versus Walker. And this isn't just like another case to cram for exams, you know. It really forces you to consider the consequences of breaking the law, especially when it comes to public safety.
Definitely. Walker, especially for law students, offers like a crucial lens to look at statutory interpretation, the constant tension between public safety and individual rights, and just the whole intricacies of the misdemeanor manslaughter rule. So basically, we're diving into how just carrying an unlicensed pistol in DC ended up being the basis for an involuntary manslaughter charge after a really tragic accident.
Yeah, exactly. So the core of our deep dive today is this. How can an unintended death, and it stemmed from what was originally a misdemeanor, carrying that unlicensed firearm, how can that actually lead to a charge as serious as manslaughter? We've been looking through court opinions and legal analysis on United States versus Walker, 380A2D1388, that's from 1977 in D.C., to really get to the bottom of it for you. So let's break this down. What exactly happened in this case?
I think the facts of the case are really important here. Earl Walker was in D.C., and he was carrying a pistol without a license. Now, just that by itself is a misdemeanor under D.C. Code 22-3204. That section specifically forbids carrying a pistol without a license. So he was walking down some stairs, and that's when the accident happened. The gun slipped from his hand, and it went off. And tragically, the bullet hit and killed a bystander, Ernestine Curry.
That's awful. Just a devastating accident with, you know, obviously profound consequences. It makes you think about how the legal system even begins to figure out how to respond to something like that. What was the initial response?
Well, initially, the trial court dismissed the manslaughter charge. You can imagine the thinking there. It was a tragic accident. And maybe the link back to that initial misdemeanor, you know, maybe they didn't see that as strong enough to justify such a serious charge. But the government, they disagreed. So they went ahead and appealed the dismissal. And it's in the appeal that you see the real meaty legal arguments and analysis.
Which brings us to the heart of this whole thing, right? That central legal question that the appeals court had to figure out. What was the question they were trying to answer?
Basically, it boils down to this. Could the act of carrying that unlicensed pistol, which again, we know is a misdemeanor in D.C., could that actually be the basis for a manslaughter charge when it unintentionally led to someone's death?
So this isn't about whether Mr. Walker meant to cause harm, right? Because it seems pretty clear from the facts that this was an accident. It's more about whether the original misdemeanor, carrying the unlicensed pistol, did that create a high enough level of risk that this accidental death could still lead to a manslaughter charge? And to understand that, we need to look at how DC defines involuntary manslaughter, right?
Exactly. Like in many other places, the definition of involuntary manslaughter in D.C. has really been shaped by court decisions. There's a two-pronged test, essentially. The first part, and this is the one that's really at play in Walker, it involves an unlawful killing that happens during a misdemeanor. But it's not just any misdemeanor. It has to be one that's dangerous in itself. The second part is about a killing that results from gross negligence. But like I said, in the Walker case, the court really zeroed in on that first part, the dangerous in itself aspect.
Okay, so the make or break point is whether carrying the unlicensed pistol counts as a misdemeanor that's dangerous in itself. What did the court say about that?
So here's where things get interesting. The court was pretty firm in their conclusion. Carrying an unlicensed pistol is inherently dangerous, they said. And they drew an analogy, and this is highlighted in our source material, to the felony murder rule. It's kind of like, think of it as the misdemeanor version of felony murder. If you're doing something unlawful that's dangerous, even if it's a misdemeanor, and someone dies as a result, even if it's an accident, you can still be held accountable for that death because of the initial dangerous act.
That comparison to felony murder is helpful. It's not about what was going through Mr. Walker's head when the gun went off. The problem, according to the court, was that he was carrying it without a license in the first place.
Oh.
And they saw that as inherently dangerous. Did they give more details on how they reached that conclusion?
Oh, absolutely. The court, they actually quoted Judge Kern, and this is what he said. Implicit in the statutory prescription is a congressional recognition of the inherent risk of harm. So basically what they're saying is that when Congress made it illegal to carry a pistol without a license in D.C., they were acknowledging that that action carried a significant risk of danger. It wasn't seen as just some minor technicality. It was about preventing potential harm.
So they're putting a lot of emphasis on what Congress intended when they made the law against carrying unlicensed firearms.
Exactly. And the court went on to stress that Congress wanted to drastically tighten gun regulations in D.C. That's a direct quote from their opinion. Their argument is that carrying an unlicensed weapon, whether you intend to use it for harm or not, creates a bigger risk to public safety. It's the fact that there's an unauthorized firearm out in public that makes things more dangerous.
It seems like the defense might have argued that the law was more about being preventative, you know, making sure people were properly trained, had their guns registered, that kind of thing, instead of saying there's an immediate danger inherent in carrying an unlicensed firearm. How did the court address that?
They addressed it head on, and ultimately they sided with the government's view. They focused on the actual danger posed by having an unlicensed weapon in public. They acknowledged, yes, the law has broader preventative goals, but they felt the immediate risk created by that unlicensed firearm was enough to classify the misdemeanor as dangerous in itself when it comes to involuntary manslaughter.
Okay, so we've got the chain of reasoning here. Carrying a pistol without a license is against the law. Lawmakers wanted to reduce the risks that come with firearms, so the act itself is inherently dangerous. And if that act leads to an accidental death, it can be considered involuntary manslaughter. For someone studying law, what's the big takeaway here? Why is this case so important?
Walker is important for law students for a few reasons. First, it really widens the scope of liability when it comes to firearm offenses. It shows that even if you don't intend to hurt anyone, if you have a gun illegally and someone gets hurt, even by accident, there can be serious legal consequences. And it really underscores this principle. What lawmakers intended when they made a law in this case, wanting to protect public safety with strict gun laws, that can be a major factor in determining if someone is criminally liable.
It almost feels like the misdemeanor version of felony murder, where the initial crime might be less serious, but it makes the person more culpable if a death happens as a result.
That's a really good way to put it. Just like with felony murder, where committing a dangerous felony can lead to a murder charge even if the death wasn't intended, Walker sets up a similar idea for inherently dangerous misdemeanors in manslaughter cases. The key lesson here is, if you're doing something illegal that carries a big risk of harming others, there can be serious consequences, even if the specific harm wasn't intended or foreseeable. It's that inherent danger of the initial unlawful act that connects everything.
So, just to sum it up, United States versus Walker is a powerful example of how the legal system can hold people accountable for deaths that weren't intended. But that happened because of actions that were inherently dangerous and illegal. The courts focus on public safety and what DC lawmakers intended when they put gun regulations in place. That was key to their decision.
Right. It drives home the point that the law isn't just about punishing intentional wrongdoing. It also looks at the risks that come with certain unlawful behaviors and holds people responsible when those risks lead to a tragedy.
And that leads to a really important question for our listeners, especially the law students out there. What's something they can think about, you know, really chew on based on this case?
Well, think about how this idea of an inherently dangerous misdemeanor could apply in other legal areas beyond firearms. What other misdemeanors could be seen as carrying that kind of inherent risk? And what specific things should courts consider when deciding if a misdemeanor meets that inherently dangerous bar? And maybe even more fundamentally, where do you draw the line between individual liberty and keeping the public safe when courts are interpreting these important legal principles? It's a complicated issue, and United States versus Walker is a really good starting point for exploring those complexities.